Coming up on today's radio magazine, an update on the ongoing partnership and progress in Moy Ross.
My highlight today is lovely. It's nice. It's enjoyable. A lot of love. A lot of positive things going on in the area. The presence of the Lord is here, which is more important. And I hope everyone enjoys themselves in the area, like have a good time. And that's what it's all about. And enjoy it.
We'll hear more about that in a moment. And if you're single and you feel that everyone is getting married except you, is it better to marry the wrong person rather than remain single and lonely?
The things that tend to get under your skin in the early days of a relationship, they're still going to get under your skin, in fact, possibly more so after you've got married.
Sure, they could be red flags for the future, couldn't they?
Yes. They absolutely could. You know, the single life can be a really good, happy life, very fulfilling. You know, many years ago when we didn't have the connections we have now, being single was an isolated situation. But now, so many opportunities open to them there. Communication is so easy and, you know, you don't have to be isolated anymore.
And you've tried to be a good parent. But what do you do when your child goes against the values you've tried so hard to model for them?
She broke down in tears and she looked at me and she says, "I don't understand why you don't hate me. I violated everything you've lived your life for." I could understand her comment, and I said, "I ought to break your little neck for what you've done."
You won't want to miss Esther's story, all that and more, all on today's edition of Family.ie. And you're very welcome along. I'm Ronan Johnston. If you've listened to the programme for any length of time, no doubt you know that our motto is Families Strengthening Families. We try to do that in a number of ways. On the air, with our radio programmes each week. Online, providing you with free podcasts, a wealth of articles, and trustworthy resources at family.ie. And on the street level, helping communities and individuals face-to-face. We equip parents and other trainers all around the country with a time-tested, in-depth drug prevention programme called How to Drug-Proof Your Kids. And whenever possible, we offer other practical help and partner with like-minded organisations in order to build individuals and families in Ireland that are fit and healthy, spiritually, emotionally and financially. Among those key partnerships are Transformation Limerick, Teen Challenge, along with several local Christian churches and organisations. One of the key communities that we have the privilege of assisting is that of Moy Ross. We meet throughout the year, most Monday nights, in the community centre, and we've been honoured to help with the past two community fair days, which take place in September each year. Our own Stephen Carty gives us some audio snapshots of just a few of the many highlights from the most recent fair.
We're here talking to Paddy Flannery, who's the manager of the community centre here in Moy Ross, and he has been the architect of today. Paddy, how's the day gone?
Today, as usual, has gone really well. No matter how much rain we had all year, the sun has always managed to shine on us for the fair day, which is really good. And I think it's moving in onto the centre compound here has meant that people have stayed around much longer. They're around, they're enjoying themselves, they're enjoying the fine day and enjoying the music, and there's a great interaction. Last year there was a bit of a divide between the helpers and the people. This year they're all scattered amongst each other. I think it's really good.
I'm Geraldine Clawsley. I'm part of the organising group for the Moy Ross Community Fair. And this year and last year we've had the support of the Transformation Limerick group who come and volunteer on the day. We have a number of things going on. We have the barbecue, cooking burgers and sausages for the public. We also have market stalls. We have the Team Challenge group who come from the Transformation and they're talking to people around drug addiction and that. And we have Pat who's doing the balloons and all kinds of things for the kids. And we have face painting. And also we have a lot of music going on from some artists are performing from different parts of the city. And we also have the Northside Learning Hub kickboxing group are also doing a display. So there is a huge community spirit and people come and just enjoy it and kind of they're coming together.
I like nothing.
She's just playing around.
I like Jesus.
Yeah. The McCarthy family loves Jesus, don't we?
Yeah, but not evil don't.
Not evil things. We don't like evil things, no. We don't like bad things. Jesus don't like bad things either.
I'm here with Liam McNamara. Liam, we've had the opportunity to get to know people in a much more substantial way than we did a year ago, and a year down the road, connecting with those people. They know us, we're here, we haven't gone away, we're not going to go away, we have plans for the future, and we're excited about all that prospect of what lies ahead.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're not about religion, we're about relationship, and we've been cultivating that, I suppose, amongst the people and when we've interacted with. And, you know, out of that has come, for sure, a build-up. The evidence is there that there is a build-up of trust in the community, and the volunteer force would now say that they have between 60 and 70 families who just don't want their windows cleaned anymore, or even though they will still be glad to have it done, but you know, they are bringing family issues and the other issues that are causing a lot of the difficulties that they have, but they're bringing them to us now to seek support and help. And obviously that's what we're all about, because that's what we should be bringing to them in the first place, is help and support. And the support is found in the hope we have in Jesus Christ to bring into their lives just as it has in ours. And through that, we see the transformation. And, the place, I suppose, that best serves to open up the door where these people can come and sit and deal with us in this is such a place as a drop-in centre, which is open to everyone. It's a very casual environment. That's our vision for it. But it's focused for a purpose, that we're not just going to be basically having cups of coffee and whatever. Those people that are, if they be addicted, that we can obviously link up with Teen Challenge through the relationship we've cultivated with them, and other such needs, even basic literary training.
It seems to be coming together now, and we're excited about that prospect and what it brings for the future. So we're here with Tracy and Chrissy. How did it work out for you?
No, I was delighted. Yeah, it was an absolutely wonderful day. Great community spirit, great buzz around the place. And obviously the support from the Limerick Transformation Group is just, it's incredible to have it. It wouldn't be able to go ahead with the day without that kind of support. And really, it's just a privilege to be here, I suppose, and be part of it.
I think everybody was just in good form. I mean, the children were having a ball. The face painting went down a treat. I mean, they were busy to the very last. And I think all in all, everybody was just in high spirits.
So from a family perspective, it's a really valuable day.
It is. And what I noticed as well, we had a lot of people from around the surrounding areas who came in, and what was fascinating was everybody was saying hello, saluting everybody else, stopping for a chat and having an all-round good time with them.
Yeah, I think it's lovely, and it's a great opportunity for families to come together and have a lovely experience without the pressures or having organised something themselves, because there's always some member of the family then who's under pressure if it's a family activity. But when a family can come together like that, where it's organised by somebody else and they can all just go and actually relax and enjoy it, that's a huge bonus. And it showed there today, as you said. It was lovely to see the families together.
A year down the road, Paddy, we were involved with you last year. We've been sort of involved a little bit in this and that throughout the past year. How has that gone for the community?
Yeah, some people react better to, I won't use the word outsider, but to a stranger that they feel they can open up better with them than they would with local people. But whatever way has come on, there's a connection that's been made with a group of people that I believe there was no one talking to. And you can see that group of people now intertwining with the community. I just said it a while ago. Look, we've got yourselves, Limerick Transformation here. We've got the Franciscan Friars here. We've got the parish priest doing MC here. We've got all classes and creeds in the yard all day. There's no aggro, everyone is just working away, having fun. That's what the whole story, I think, to me is about. There's enough work for everyone to do. It's not about competition, it's about everyone doing a bit and making the load lighter.
It's been a great privilege for us to be involved, and I mean, you've made us extremely welcome here, so it's been great to be alongside you, you know, over the last year.
Look, good luck with the work, and it says you're more than welcome, and it's greatly appreciated. There's so much to be done around here. The more hands, the better at the table, basically.
Highlights there from the recent Moyross Community Fair. It's great to hear about the work. We'll definitely be bringing you more information about ongoing developments there, including the long-awaited drop-in centre. So watch this space for more. By the way, if you're either a resident of Moyross or interested in being part of the tremendous work going on there, you're invited to come along to the Community Centre on Mondays from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. It's a great time to sing a few songs, have a cup of tea, and gather together to pray for the needs of the community. Contact us for more details, info@family.ie. That's info@family.ie. We need to take a quick break right now, but coming up next, if you're single, are you beginning to think it's better to marry the wrong person rather than remain single and lonely? We'll think about that more when we continue. And following that, what would you say if your young daughter tells you she's pregnant? One dad and daughter's own story still ahead. So keep it tuned right here for more on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to the third edition of our radio magazine. We know that sometimes when people hear our name, they might get the idea that we only cater to perfect, happily married couples with completely obedient children. But we don't, especially since we don't know anyone like that. The truth is, we do try to have something for every member of the Irish family, and as much as we value God's plan for marriage, we also fully realise that marriage is a lot of work. As the saying goes, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Seriously, it's certainly nothing to rush into. Extensive research shows that living together is not an effective alternative either. But as you start to get older and see your friends getting married, the pressure can really start to build. So is it better to just marry someone, even if you have reservations about their character, rather than stay single and risk being lonely for the rest of your life? Here's Vincent Hughes, along with our own Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, to help us think through that a little bit more.
One of the things I think that goes with the frantic pace of 21st century living is that everybody desires to have a partner. Mm-hmm. There is this mad, frantic dash, almost a panic sometimes, for people to find their life partner. You think, is it better to marry the wrong person than to remain single and lonely?
Definitely not.
I think it's much more painful to do that. Being a single person can be very meaningful and very fulfilling. And there are, it's a take too long to go into it, but there are many very well-known people who were single people who have made huge impressions in the world. And, you know, it's better to live on your own than to live in a house divided against itself.
And yet there seems to be some sort of a stigma attached to being a single person in Ireland these days.
Be that as it may, Vincent, it is way better to be single and away from that conflict than to be involved or embroiled in a life of conflict. I mean, you know, imagine the scenario where you're going home to conflict. Who wants to go there?
Who wants
to create a home where it's a war zone? I mean, I remember, I'm going back 10 years ago now, but I was listening to a story told by Zig Ziglar, a very famous motivational speaker, author as well, good friend of Dr. Dobson's, talking about a friend of his who ran a large oil company in Houston. And he was talking about the relationships at home and the conflict that would happen at home. And this senior executive said to Zig, when he'd listened to him talking about the importance of good relationships in the home, and this man was having a lot of conflict, and he realized, having talked to Zig, that what he was doing was he was going to work early in the morning, like going out to work at 6:30 and coming home late at night. But it was no pleasure for that man going home to a war zone, or it'd be no pleasure going home to a husband or a wife where there was resentment and hurt and bitterness. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, being single is way better than that war zone.
I tend to agree with you, Vincent.
Yeah. It might be lonely, but yes, it doesn't have the heartache that goes with that sort of conflict. And in a sense, as we've said earlier in the programme, Vincent, listen to your heart. Like, listen to your common sense, your gut instinct, and so on. Mm. If you feel that you're going to have to make compromises that you just can't live with, and sort of thinking, well, somehow or other I want to be married, so I live with he drinks too much, but he'll get over it when we're married, etc. Mm. Or she's too much in a certain thing, or else, whatever it may be, you sort of say to yourself that they'll get over it. You know, that may never happen. Yeah. And you may end up with compromised on something that you intuitively feel is not for you.
Yes.
And it's not working out. And later on, you've got all these conflict zones, and that is a painful.
Yeah. So the things that tend to get under your skin in the early days of a relationship, they're still going to get under your skin. In fact, possibly more so after you've got married.
Sure, they could be red flags for the future, couldn't they?
Yes.
They absolutely could. I think, you know, the single life can be a really good, happy life, very fulfilling. And single people have nowadays so many opportunities open to them there. You know, communication is so easy, and it's just, you don't have to be isolated anymore.
No.
You know, many years ago when we didn't have the connections we have now, being single was an isolated situation, but now...
Oh yes, the dreadful words, aren't they? Spinster.
You don't have to be isolated anymore.
Shocking.
No, the single life...
Conscious of all sorts of connotations of the the old woman with the shawl pulled over her head, the spinster.
Yeah.
And even the bachelor, I suppose, it's not, they're not great. They're not phrases anyway that are used, I think, today. Too readily these days.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
And like we've said before, we obviously believe that God's plan is for a man and a woman to be married for life. But that doesn't mean that everyone should get married, no matter what or to whom. So if you're seeing red flags in a person before marriage, it's probably for a good reason. Most people get cold feet at some stage because it is a big decision. So get good counsel, heed the warning signs, and learn from the good and bad examples of others. If you head to family.ie, you can listen to Ida's story.
I was very lonely at school. I was very lonely as a teenager. I was always looking for acceptance, a place, and something to belong to. Something that I fitted in with. When I met my future husband, we started going out together. Even though I had reservations, but I squelched that down. I knew he was a gambler before I married him. And I, in my naivety, thought getting married and having a son, that he'd be so happy about all that he'd stop his gambling, but little did I know.
We should warn you, it is a heartbreaking story. She certainly dispels any myth that marriage is always a cure for loneliness and the path to guaranteed happiness, but she also tells how she found real hope that changed her life forever. Simply click on Hope Story when you visit our radio magazine edition 3 page at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. We need to take a break now, but when we continue, it's probably safe to say that we want what's best for our kids, but we also know that at times they can break our hearts. What do you do when your child goes against the values you've tried so hard to model for them? Stick around for One Dad Story after this short break here on today's edition of family.ie. Welcome once again to this special edition of Family.ie. As you know, we cover a variety of subjects on the programme from week to week. Our goal is to come alongside families and help them thrive in every stage of life, but we fully admit that we don't have all the answers. Sometimes, even when after doing everything possible, good parents face situations that leave us all a bit stumped. Stan John shared the story of his daughter Esther with us.
Esther is a product of my own commitment to the sanctity of human life, to the pro-life movement, and was very active working in that, working with mothers who had encountered a crisis in their life, had maybe made a mistake, and coaching them and counseling them that to make another mistake and aborting their baby was not going to fix the problem, it wasn't going to make things right. But with the realization that true integrity in that message means we not only challenge the mother to keep her child, but when she can't, to offer our own hands and our own home to the raising of those children that the loving mothers would bring to life. And thus, I have my daughter, Esther. She's adopted, and she's incredible in that. Adoption in itself is a miracle. But when she was 5, she would say, I was adopted and I was expensive. It took a great deal of legal cost to be able to adopt this little girl who we thought was going to be a very simple process. But later in life, as a young adult, Esther made some decision mistakes. And those decision mistakes of going too far, exceeding the boundaries, not putting the proper behaviors and guardrails in place led her to a unplanned pregnancy with a young man she was not married to. And later on, we had a productive conversation. It was clear to us she and the young man that was soon to be her husband were indeed committed. We didn't believe we were at risk of an abortion. We knew we had that. So what they needed was support. But I suggested to Esther, let me drive you home. Let's drive home. And so as we pulled out of the place we were, we pulled into an overlook, a parking area that looked over the city and over the city lights. And I shut off the car and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I thought maybe we could just talk a bit more. Maybe you wanted to talk. And she broke down in tears and she looked at me and she says, I don't understand why you don't hate me. I violated everything you've lived your life for. You've worked all of her life. She knew I worked in family ministry. I worked in strengthening marriage, helping parents be good parents. Totally devoted in the pro-life movement and the sanctity of human life. And so I could understand her comment. And I said, I ought to break your little neck for what you've done. And yet, Esther, I have this undying love for you. Can we just leave this lay at the feet of God is teaching me too? And she was puzzled and she looked and she says, I don't know what you mean. And I said, Esther, I'm sitting here in this car seat. I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm experiencing something in my heart that I only knew in my head. And that thing is unconditional love. That's agape love. It's love of God that comes to us as a gift, flows from us as a gift, not because it's earned, not because it's deserved. I'm convinced at this moment there's nothing you can do that will separate you from my love. And I'm now understanding God's love for me. Let's do what is right together. Let's make the future together. I love you. I'll support you. And that's a gift from God, and you're changing my life. About a year and a half later, she had lost twin boys in that pregnancy. Fine, handsome young little men, but they went to be with the Lord. But she's now the mother of my granddaughter, my first grandchild on earth. And she called me up one day and she said, Dad, I just wanted to call you and tell you something. And I thought, oh no, what problem are we going to walk through today? And she says, I'm looking in my daughter's face and I'm experiencing unconditional love. And there's nothing can make a father's heart swell like that. That's a lesson that has become now a generational legacy. And I'd encourage any dad, any mom, when you think your kids are broken, extend and offer them unconditional love by asking God to fill your heart with unconditional love. And watch how it transforms. First, your own life. My life was changed. But also watch how it impacts their life. And what you give them as that gift, they will then be able to give away to others, even their own children.
Thanks again to Stan John and to his daughter Esther for sharing their story with us. It's a great reminder that we don't operate in a vacuum. Our actions always affect others, and some of the outcomes can affect the generations that follow us. All of the features and programs you've heard about today simply would not be possible without the generosity of our supporters. So a big thank you to you for helping us as we help strengthen individuals and families throughout Ireland. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us radio@family.ie. That's 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. And of course, you can download this radio program and many others absolutely free of charge when you head to our website, family.ie. Many other helpful articles and access to more resources there as well. www.family.ie. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh, I'm Ronan Johnston, Slán Tamil. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families.